We're back with part two with Will Harris from White Oak Pastures. Hi, Will.
Hey, glad to be back.
So we spent time in our last segment talking about animal welfare, but I kind of want to zoom out now and talk about the big picture of climate and soil health particularly. What have the choices that you've made in switching from a more conventional aligned or from a more conventional and narrowly focused operation to a diversified pasture-based operation? How has that affected the biodiversity on your farm and your soil health?
It has been incredible. And we're actually doing things that I was taught was impossible in the University of Georgia in the 70s. I was told that it takes 100 years to build an inch of topsoil. And we have made dramatic changes in our soil in the last 20 or 25 years. In the mid-90s, when I started changing the way we farm, one of the things that precipitated it was I would walk in the field, and I'd look at the dirt. It was dirt. It wasn't soil. And it was a dead mineral medium. And I could walk 20 feet away on the edge of the woods, and the soil there was a medium that's teeming with life. It was like it came from two different planets. And all I wanted was for the dirt in the field to look like the soil in the woods. And so I knew why they were different. I mean, same geological soil type. It was the way the land had been treated, with a lot of cultivation, a lot of chemical fertilizer, a lot of pesticides, etc. And so I started emulating nature, biomimicry, gave up cultivation, chemical fertilizer, pesticides, brought a lot of different species of animals onto the land to make their own impact on it. Every species has a very different impact from the other species. And it was kind of magic. And our soil, the organic matter, is not all that's important in the soil. It's important, but it's not all that's important. But it is a very good indicator of soil health. And over the last 25 years, the soil on my land has gone from less than 0.5% organic matter to over 5% organic matter. I tell you what that means. 1% of organic matter will hold about 20,000 gallons of water. That's an inch of rain. So when I had half a percent organic matter, my land would absorb a half inch of rain. If it rained 8 inches, it absorbed half an inch of rain. Today, with it over 5%, my land can absorb a 5-inch rain event. So it makes the land far more drought resistant. And in addition to that, we've got a healthy microbial community. The tilth of the soil is better. It's just wonderful.
I imagine the folks living downstream of you also appreciate that your soil is absorbing water instead of it running off downstream.
If they knew, they would. You know, it's and these things are not obvious. You know, we talk a lot about unintended consequences, and usually they're bad. You know, the fact that I'm literally helping prevent flooding in the Gulf of Mexico is an unintended consequence. I didn't intend to do that. I'm glad it does. Also, all that carbon. We sequester about 1 ton of carbon per year, per acre. And that carbon we sequester used to be in the form of greenhouse gases. So we're actually pulling the greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere done by the plants through photosynthesis and sequestering it in the soil where it's organic matter. So the plants farmed properly are taking the carbon from where it's bad, it's harmful, and putting it where it's good, so it prevents flooding, etc.
So, and how many acres do you farm?
3,200.
So, you're estimating that you're pulling about 3,200 tons of carbon out of the atmosphere and sequestering it in soil on an annual basis?
Yeah, that's pretty conservative. It's more than that, but we just use a ton to make it and to round it off. And a ton of carbon, so it takes 7 barrels of oil to contain a ton of carbon. So we're basically sequestering the emission of 7 barrels of oil per acre on 3,200 acres every year.
Wow. Now, I just want to shift a little bit. And recently, meat production in particular has come under a lot of scrutiny in public. There's a lot of meat, non-meat alternatives, Beyond Meat, Impossible Burger, things like that. Probably won't mention them by name. Would prefer not to mention them by name. But how does the production of those products affect the soil versus your production of your organically, beyond organic meats?
So I have a specific answer to that question. General Mills, the huge cereal corporation, owns a snack meat company called Epic, and I provide beef and pork and chicken and turkey to Epic. General Mills offered to pay for a $80,000 study to be done on my farm called an LCA life cycle assessment. And they paid the money, and a team of really sharp soil scientists, environmental science people from Minneapolis, the company's called Qantas, came to my farm. Spent over a week, sampled my soil, went through my records to find out how much energy I buy, that sort of thing. And they determined that for every pound of beef that I sell, I'm actually sequestering 3.5 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalent. Every pound of beef, I am benefiting the climate by pulling down 3.5 pounds. Now, just entirely coincidentally, you can't make this up. One of the plant-based protein companies hired the same environmental engineering concern, Qantas, to do a LCA life cycle assessment on their product during the same time period they were doing it on mine. I didn't know that. I'm sure they didn't know that. Theirs that they published and bragged about showed that they were emitting 3.5 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalent for every pound of plant-based protein that they're producing. So literally, I mean, you can't make that up. It's 3.5 in both cases, me pulling it down, them putting it up. So what that means literally is, if you want to leave no footprint, for every pound of that plant-based protein you consume, you got to eat a pound of mine to offset it.
That's powerful stuff. And obviously, compared to conventional farming, both options are better. So you just to wrap up, to give the folks who listen to the radio station are up in upstate New York. So. You mentioned Primal as a brand. Are there any other brands that source from you that, if folks want to support your farm, that they can that don't live in Georgia can purchase?
Yeah, you can order from our farm online. In New York is $9.95 freight. It's very cheap. You can order all the products whiteoakpastures.com and poultry, beef, lamb. Vegetables, eggs, honey, the whole line, and I, this is not a sales pitch for White Oak Pastures. I mean, certainly I hope those people would order from White Oak Pastures, but buy your products, buy your food from a farmer who is farming in a manner that is pleasing to you. Wendell Berry is a hero of mine. He wrote The Unsettling of America, which is a great book. And he says something to the effect, it's not a perfect quote, but Consumers vote every day with their food dollar on how they want the world to be. So, I'm not asking just about white oak pastures. Find a farmer in your area. If you can't find one in your area, order from us. But find a farmer who is doing it the way you think it ought to be done and contribute to their survival.
That's great. Thank you so much. Yeah, rock and roll farm on. Thank you so much, Will.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.